Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long, and we're joined by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Bobby's notebook is brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Cajun Cannon, great to have you with us. And Cajun, was it another big day from everything I've seen, Spencer Rattler in the offense?
No, that wasn't like yesterday. We couldn't put back-to-back days, but maybe that's good for our defense.
Yeah.
I don't know. They did start off with 7-on-7 in the red zone. The defense won that drill. Blackman comes up with a great pass defense. Other throw could have been a little bit higher, so maybe can't get his hands on it. But I think if he wouldn't have kind of stumbled at the end, he might have ended up getting another interception. But it was a great pass defense to prevent a touchdown. Shuck had a nice throw to Jack Stahl, you know, the tight end. That was precise throw on time. You know, and I think if they would utilize two tight end sets for the first game against the Cardinals right now, to me it would be Juwan Johnson and Jack Stahl, if I just had to guess, any two tight end sets. I mean, how Juwan Johnson is targeted a number of times, no matter who's the quarterback, whether it's, you know, Rattler or Shuck. Mike, if he plays every game, I think he can't help but have like 80-plus catches.
Now, that's a lot of catches, Bob, 80 catches.
But I mean,
that's a lot.
I'm looking at plays where, I mean, like three straight passes. They're running a two-minute drill, like no huddle, hurry up and all. Three straight passes are going to Juwan Johnson.
Oh.
So just look at how they're utilizing him. I would say, obviously, you know, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave. And then you throw in Alvin Kamara. But I would say before even Tipton or Brandon Cooks, I would look at Juwan Johnson as far as being utilized by the quarterbacks. Now, they did do this today, and I don't think they're going to show this against the Broncos. Kind of Taysom Hill-type plays, but doing with the running back, like with Alvin Kamara at quarterback. You know, splitting out the quarterback, whether it be Shuck or Rattler at wide receiver, and it wasn't like QB powers. It looked like an RPO, and Alvin looked like a quarterback running it. But he wasn't reading nothing. He was like just riding the running back and hitting and getting it. And I don't know if the defense was prepared for it, but they ran that like a couple of times. And, well, he had one big gain where, well, I don't think the defense was ready for Alvin, a quarterback and running an RPO. Quincy Raleigh continues to impress. You know, you see him coming up with passes defended. I think he was came out of nowhere last year. Rico Payton having a pass defended versus Dante Pettis. But it was kind of, they were doing situational football with, you know, four-minute offense. I think they even had it up to five-minute offense, when you're going to see during the season where we're going to utilize the no huddle. It's not necessarily a hurry-up where we're always on the line, but it might be in spurts where we're in the huddle, then all of a sudden we run three plays not in the huddle, then you get back in the huddle. Now you got to convert your first downs to be able to try and keep, you know, the defense off balance. But
now, Bob, you would do that so the defense couldn't substitute.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to be a game plan and looking if they can have an advantage over a defense. Yeah, keeping them from substituting, maybe not utilizing the people in the game and not having time to substitute, because it's hurry up, but it's like no huddle. And it's not truly like, oh, we got to go score 2 minutes. But I think still, what I've watched throughout training camp, situational football, that is towards the end of the game, whether you need touchdown, field goal. Now, obviously, if you need a touchdown, you'd be going for a Hail Mary if in that type of situation. But we're having, good for our defense, I guess, but we're having to settle too much for field goals. And the kickers were outstanding today. Groupie, I don't know if I've ever witnessed a kicker have a better training camp, whether when I was playing or just covering it. And, Mike, when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, if I count everything, he's talking about like 40 years. That Groupie, he's missed one kick. He made a 53-yarder today, and he's just steady. I mean, accurate. And Smith made a 50-yard, 8-yard field goal right at the end of practice to, like, win the game, you know, kind of type thing. And it went halfway up the net. I mean, that had been good, like, been good from 68. So a controlled environment, that was a good situation. Probably the play of the day. When probably it was. Now, this is about as good as it gets. It was a pass from Rattler to Olave. I mean, that was the play of the day. It would have been a 22-yard touchdown. And what Olave did a great job, because it wasn't, I think it was Rico Payton in coverage. It wasn't that bad coverage. He was right there. But Olave did a great job of late hands. Like, what I mean by late hands, you don't panic. Yeah. And put his hands up late. Another nice throw and catch. That was about as good as it gets. Seeing Olave, also, they always talk about him. Or Rashid making contested catches. Now, you don't want to ever have, definitely not in a game, that happened to Chris Olave, where the ball hits you in your hands. You know, you playing pitch and catch with your dad or something. Oh, it hits your hands. You got to catch it. Well, it just seems like now and then Rashid Shaheed or Chris Olave, they'll have a drop that it's not because of the defense, just maybe getting lackadaisical, lack of concentration. You have to be able to, come up with the ball and basically catch it, because that's a drive killer. We all know that's what happened with Shuck and Chris Olave, where who knows if he catches it, he might have scored instead of just being, 23-24-yard gain. Now, as far as getting after the quarterback, they did one stunt. And I don't know, Shuck got to have more pocket awareness. Maybe that might come with time. I don't know, Pete Werner ran by him, and I said, well, Shuck had to see him. He was like 2-3 steps past him. I said, he got killed. So that pocket awareness, I put a big question mark. He has to be able to see that with Pete Werner coming free. Again, Carl Granderson having a sack. Chase Young, having a sack. So, you see the guys who you expected to make plays coming up with the big defensive plays or offensive plays. But again, looking at Alante Taylor, I don't know, ask Coach, if he's not available for that star position, who he's going to utilize. So he ended up naming the whole secondary. I mean, I don't know. He said, Ugo and all. You know how he don't give you anything because, they're counting on Alante Taylor. I just was basically saying, if he can't play, who's that, second guy to be that star at nickel in the slot? So he gave a coach's answer. And when I give it, it'd be interesting to see when he's going to name a starting quarterback. You know, we tried to ask him, is it case in point game week or – to me, you can't necessarily do it right for the kickoff because the Cardinals will know, but you can, maybe they could practice for both quarterbacks and maybe you don't reveal that by Wednesday.
Bob, I think knows who it is.
Yeah.
He's just not saying it.
Right.
He knows who it is.
Well, and I think, and I brought this up too, the players know who it is.
Yes.
Because they all watch the film. And to me, I don't know everything, but I would think based on performance and just his swagger and because he hasn't won a game, but he has NFL experience, would be Spencer Rattler right now. And I think, like I said, we talked about this. They're both eventually, I think, going to play this season. And, it'd be Rattler's job to lose just because he throws a pick or something. They're not just going to, Charlize, you're going to take him out of the game. No, whoever he goes with, Coach Moore said that, that's our quarterback. It's not like they'd have to be looking over their shoulder. They're going to get replaced. So you're going to have so let's say Rattler does start. He's going to have an opportunity to start a number of games, and whether that's a month, month and a half, five, six games, whatever it might be. And then eventually I think they'd make a change. And if they go with Shuck, it'd be the same thing. They're not going to have both quarterbacks play in the same game. Like a relief pitcher in baseball, they're not going to do that. Or they're not going to say, Rattler, you starting this week, and then Shuck starting, but like that. It won't be like what happened to Haener. Remember when Haener played first half and he got yanked at halftime?
No, I don't think you're going to see that.
No.
If Rattler gets the call and
– they're going to give him a chance, I think.
I think what – we had talked about before, if you watched the Patriots last year, Drake May didn't start the season.
He came in later. He came in for the Texans game. I want to say at the top of my head that was game six. Jacoby Brissett, who's now with the Cardinals, who will be backing up Kyler Murray more than likely. And, Clayton Tune, fighting to stay on that roster, the number three quarterback right now, it looks like. But, yeah, I think whoever's starting game one against the Cardinals, they'll have a chance. They'll have an opportunity to be successful. And I would say opportunity usually means a handful of games, or it's a handful, let's say half a dozen, you know, five, six games, and see where you're at. But, yeah, it was a good practice in the Dome. And Coach Moore says the more we can get in the Dome done and get used to being in that environment, you know, because the lighting and all that, the better. So it's going to be a great test. And I'll talk about more of this in the show with the Broncos. You know the one thing why Sean Payton's team won last year, Michael? Well, they're 10-7. I'm looking at the defense, number seven overall defense, three against the run. But this is where they were. And you can't help but win in the NFL. If you had top 10 scoring offense and top 10 scoring defense, you're going to win. I didn't realize because, you know, their offense was like ranked 19th, but they averaged 25 points a game. You know, defense could be a big part of that, but they only gave up 18 points a game, which was third best. Well,
Just think if they had a running game.
Yeah.
They didn't have last year. Well, no running game.
And they tried to address that in the draft, Mike. You know,
with R.J. Harvey, yeah.
Yep. So we'll have to see how that comes about. But I think it's a good team to play against. The last game, I understand, like, Bo Nix aren't a starter. Sean said they're playing like 8, 9, 10 reps. You know, so they have one drive. So if they go 3 and out, they're going to be back out there. So I think it's a good team to play to get ready for the regular season, that being the Broncos, because with their expectations.
That's Bobby Hebert's Odyssey Sports Training Camp coverage is brought to you by GEICO. Switch and save. Get more with GEICO.